Public News Service Wednesday afternoon update. I'm Mike Clifford. The nation's gross domestic product jumped 3% for the second quarter, better than the 2.3% estimate, reversing a 0.5% decline in the prior period. That from CNBC, they report consumer spending rose by about 1.4% in the second quarter, better than the 0.5% in the prior period. CNBC notes President Trump responded to the GDP report with a fresh demand for the Federal Reserve to lower interest rates. And as plastic-free July winds down, some Minnesotans say they want to learn more about how this everyday material affects their health and the environment, and practical ways of achieving zero waste.
In Ely tonight, community members will gather for a free screening of Plastic People, a documentary about society's reliance on plastic and how it breaks down into people's bodies and natural resources. Lacey Squires with the economic development group Boundary Waters Connect, she says she looks at this through a consumer's mindset, the complexities people face when buying plastic items and deciding what to do with them.
What we've been told about the recycling industry, that world maybe isn't as clean and perfect as we would like. And so how do we orient ourselves more towards reduce and reuse?
Despite recycling bins being almost everywhere, research shows only about 6% of plastic in the U.S. is repurposed. I'm Mike Moen.
Next, a former attorney for the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives says proposed federal cuts would hinder the agency's ability to keep up with key regulations affecting public safety.
One ATF responsibility is conducting inspections to ensure gun dealers sell firearms in accordance with federal law. Pam Hicks, a former chief counsel at the agency, says ATF has already struggled to meet inspection goals with not enough resources. The Trump administration's budget cuts would reduce regulatory enforcement by 40%, which Hicks says would only add more limitations to an underfunded agency.
If criminals are using those dealers to acquire guns, law enforcement is less likely to discover that before guns get used in crimes and are more likely to discover it after guns get used in crimes. That is obviously not good and very dangerous.
I'm Judith Ruiz, Branch reporting.
And a new survey shows young adults in Connecticut and nationwide have historically low levels of confidence in Social Security. Despite near unanimous popularity, the AARP report finds young people's belief that the program will be there when they need it is at a 15-year low. John Erlinghauser is with AARP Connecticut.
Younger voters are not as in tune with the importance of Social Security. The fact that on its 90th anniversary, it's never once missed a paycheck for anybody.
The record low could be due at least in part to the latest findings of the Social Security and Medicare Board of Trustees, which warn it might be insolvent by 2034 if Congress doesn't act. This is Public News Service. Ohio lawmakers are moving forward with a bill to help first responders better support people with autism and other disabilities.
The proposed 911 database would be voluntary and aims to improve outcomes in emergency situations. House Bill 144, known as Keith's Law, passed the Ohio House in May with bipartisan support. It would allow individuals or their caregivers to provide relevant health or behavioral information to be shared with first responders when an emergency call is made. Representative Brian Lorenz co-sponsored the bill.
I have a personal connection to that. My son's on the autism spectrum, and I know a lot of kids that, and adults, that have challenges, especially when they interact with law enforcement.
The Autism Society of Ohio supports the bill, citing Department of Justice data showing about 10% of 911 calls involve people with disabilities. I'm Frieda Ross reporting.
And this week, Kentucky state regulators are expected to decide the future of a 1,300-acre solar farm proposed for the historic Starfire coal mine site.
He says a community benefits agreement with the developer could help ensure funds are put toward apprenticeship readiness programs.
We've been talking with the Laborers International Union of North America around a project labor agreement, which would help ensure local hires on the project.
He adds contributing funds to improve flood resiliency, housing affordability, and energy efficiency and weatherization are other potential avenues for Bright Knight, the solar project's developer. The survey and more information about the coalition are online at appalachianky.org/Starfire Community Coalition. This is Nadia Romlagan for Kentucky News Connection.
And finally, the coaches of the Renton School District, just south of Seattle, are organizing with the American Federation of Teachers to fight for what they say are fair wages in their first union contract.
Buddy Ryan is the head boys track and field coach at Hazen High School. He says Renton coaches get paid much less compared to neighboring school districts, which contributes to a 45% turnover rate in coaches from year to year.
I'm not expecting to go buy a new car off a season of coaching, but I'm not expecting to make minimum wage to be responsible for all these kids. And I think the reality is a fair wage for a fair day's work is what everybody looks for.
Renton School District has proposed a 2.5% wage increase, far below what the coaches asked for. AFT says the district has the funds to pay coaches fairly. The district did not respond to a request for comment. I'm Isabel Charlet.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. Remember, and listener supported. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.